For Christian parents, the holiday season often feels like a whirlwind of materialism that leaves you wondering, what happened to peace on earth? Hi, I'm Rob West. In the midst of all the excitement and expectations, we often find ourselves missing the heart of Christmas, which is Jesus. Today, we'll share a few suggestions for keeping Christ in the family Christmas. Then we'll take your calls at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial journey. Well, perhaps this has happened to you before. When January rolls around, you're spent, both physically and financially. You wonder what happened to the wonder of Christmas, and you promise that next year will be different. Well, next year is here, and we're going to help you make this a fantastic, Christ-centered celebration without any of the financial regrets. As in so many areas of life, parents have opportunities here to set an example. Here are four ways you can do that. First, you can set a good example with your attitude. If you're frantic and rushed, your kids will be too. Theparentq.org suggests that you do one less thing this year. Choose one event to remove from the calendar and give yourself and your family some margin. Let peace on earth be the motto in your home, too. Second, parents can set a good example in the area of time management. Make family time a priority during the weeks leading up to Christmas. If you focus on shopping, decorating, and holiday events, your kids will think those things are most important. So as December 25th approaches, back off a bit on the shopping and activities and leave an evening or two open just for family time. You could gather around the tree and read the Christmas story from the Gospel of Luke, do a Christmas craft together, or make cookies. You could even start a new tradition this year. Traditions make memories that last a lifetime. One of my favorites is the Jesse tree. You can make one with your kids to tell the story of God's redemption in the days leading to Christmas. Go to faithword.org for daily Bible readings and printable ornaments for the Jesse tree. And here's another suggestion. Put the phones down. Challenge the whole family to put the devices away for a time. Be present with each other without the electronic distractions. Leave the phones at home when you go to church or out to dinner. Drop the devices in the glove box when you go to visit grandma. It's a small thing, but it can mean a lot. Another way to build Christ-centered Christmas memories with the kids is to pray together. At bedtime, retell the story of each of your children's birth or arrival in the family. Talk about the amazing story of Jesus' birth in a stable in Bethlehem. And pray for other families who are welcoming children in the midst of unusual or difficult circumstances right now. The third way parents can set an example at Christmas is in the area of family finances. I know this is a tough one because there's a lot of pressure to spend money at this time of year, but when you stick to your budget, even during the holidays, your children will see your commitment to financial peace. By the way, it might help to talk to your kids about the family Christmas budget. They need to understand that cash doesn't grow on Christmas trees. Put your heads together and come up with creative ways to celebrate Jesus inexpensively. Our final suggestion for setting the example for your kids during the Christmas season is probably the most important. Demonstrate generosity toward those less fortunate and invite your kids to participate. Luke 19:10 reminds us that Jesus came to seek and save the lost. Let your children experience the joy of helping others. Here are a few ways you can give together, starting right now. Make Christmas cookies together and take them to the local police or fire station, along with handmade Christmas cards. Leave bagged Christmas snacks and drinks at your doorstep for the delivery people who stop by. Make a sign to say thank you. Sponsor a child together with Compassion International or World Vision. If you have older kids, make plans to volunteer at a local soup kitchen or ministry during the holiday break. Restore the peace of Christmas along with your family this year. Rest in God's presence. Take time to remind yourself and the children in your life that there's so much to be thankful for. My prayer is that we'll all look forward to the coming of the Christ child with wonder and anticipation. As the prophet Isaiah foretold, the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who live in a land of deep darkness, on them light has shined. All right, your calls are next. The number, 800-525-7000. By the way, you can call that 24-7. 800-525-7000. I'm Rob West, and this is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial journey. We'll be right back.
For American Family Radio, I'm Charles Morris with Haven Ministries, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. I don't have to tell you this, but not every holiday gathering is a pleasant one. Some family gatherings are filled with tension, and maybe you're dreading the upcoming festivities. The Scriptures have something to say about this. When we think about the coming of Christ, we know that He has brought a great light to the world, but He has also brought something we all need, peace. Isaiah 9:6 telling us, "And He will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." So much can be said about this verse, but what a comfort to know that Jesus is called Prince of Peace. There is no strife that's too difficult for Jesus to overcome. He has come to bring us peace. Get daily encouragement from God's Word with Anchor Devotional. Try it out at getanchored.com.
My name is Kent, and I'm a member of Christian Healthcare Ministries. I have a friend who actually has great insurance, and she recently had a life-threatening experience, and she was laying in the hospital bed afraid, not afraid for her life, but afraid of what her insurance would or would not cover. And as a CHM member, I can honestly say I just never have that fear. I can't tell you the peace of mind that provides.
Learn more about Christian Healthcare Ministries' biblical cost sharing at chministries.org.
Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
Christian parents are on the hook today because they have to identify the threats to the value system that's being taught to their children in public schools. And their job is to protect their kids from these influences.
Tune in for Family Talk with Dr. James Dobson, weekdays at 6:30 a.m. and 9:30 p.m. on American Family Radio.
Thank you, everyone, for tuning in to our program. God's blessings to you all.
What if your everyday purchases could support biblical causes? With the all-new Cash Rewards Visa card from Christian Community Credit Union, a portion of every purchase goes to ministries that spread the gospel, combat human trafficking, and protect vulnerable children. Plus, earn unlimited 1.5% cash back. Visit joinchristiancommunity.com. Membership eligibility required. Each account is insured up to $250,000. This institution is not federally insured.
We're grateful for support from Movement Mortgage, who provides residential home loans in all 50 states. Guided by a mission to love and value people and a goal to redefine the mortgage process, Movement seeks to help others achieve their financial goals. You can find out more at movement.com/faith. Movement Mortgage LLC supports Equal Housing Opportunity, NMLS number 39179. For licensing information, please visit nmlsconsumeraccess.org.
Well, we're glad to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West, and it's time to turn the corner and take your questions on anything financial. So what are you thinking about today? Let's talk about it. Living, giving, owing, or growing, any of those topics on the table today. When you call 800-525-7000, that number again is 800-525-7000. Our team is standing by ready to take your call, and we'd love to hear from you today. All right, let's dive in. We're going to begin in Indiana today. Jane, you'll be our first caller. Go right ahead.
Oh, thank you for taking my call, and sure. Thank you for your service. I'm so excited. Thank you.
I appreciate
yes,
that.
Yes, I have a question about an estate. My mother passed in May, and there is an estate left, and I have two brothers, and we're trying to decide what is the best way to handle that as far as taxes go, whether to wait till the next year, or do you handle that this year, or would it be better to put it into our accounts with the tax, the estate tax? Maybe you can clarify that a little bit, hopefully.
I'd be happy to, Jane. And, you know, it's always good to get professional tax advice. I'm not a CPA, but I'll just tell you generally kind of how this works. There really is no estate tax until you get an estate up above $12 million. There's no inheritance tax either. So you would, you know, be receiving, unless this is a really large estate, you would be receiving anything that's coming out of it through the probate process as the executor working through the probate court settles the estate and then distributes the assets. You would be receiving those without paying any taxes on your end. And again, the estate would not pay any taxes unless the value of the total estate was north of $12 million. So you really don't need to worry about that. I would initiate that process sooner rather than later. The state of Indiana does not set a deadline for settling an estate, but it can take time, months, and well, a complicated estate, it can take years. Probably not in this case, probably just a matter of months. But I think it would be good to go ahead and get that process started, file with the probate court if you haven't already, and then whoever is the executor would begin to work through the process of settling any outstanding debts and then distributing those assets according to the will. Anything that's titled outside of the estate through a revocable trust or any accounts that have beneficiary designations, those would pass outside of probate directly to the named beneficiaries. But anything that's not in a trust or doesn't have a beneficiary named, would be passed as a part of the probate process by the executor directly to whoever would be receiving, you know, that according to the will. But again, there shouldn't really be any taxes due on any of this.
Okay. Thank you. One more question. There is a lawyer that is handling all of this, and it is under the threshold that you were talking about. Is there a normal fee that he charges for that or
yeah.
not?
So who is the executor?
It's my brother.
Okay. I would just get him to disclose that, up front. In terms of, what that will cost. I mean, this is a very standard process. The fees can range pretty widely. I would say less than $5,000 for sure for estate administration, especially if it's a fairly small estate. I mean, if it's a large estate, in some cases it can be a percentage of the gross value of the estate. But if it's a fairly simple situation, a few thousand dollars would be normal.
Okay. All right, then. Well, I thank you very much. I'll let other callers take some airtime here.
Okay.
I do appreciate you. God bless you and your service. We appreciate you very much.
Thank you, Jane. That's very kind of you. And Merry Christmas to you. Thank you for calling today. We've got some lines open today, folks, taking your calls and questions at 800-525-7000. Again, that's 800-525-7000. When you were a child, I'm sure your parents had to help you with an attitude adjustment from time to time. I know they did for me. Now, as an adult, you're not under the discipline of your mom and dad, but you may still need the occasional attitude check, especially in the area of finances. Now, here's what I mean by that. The Bible makes it clear that there are wrong attitudes and right attitudes when it comes to money and possessions. Your attitudes are an outward indication of what's going on in your heart, your spiritual health. Well, Jesus explains the problem to his disciples in Luke 7. He says, "For it is within, out of a person's heart, that evil thoughts come, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly. All these evils come from inside and defile a person." So you see, wrong attitudes about money are things like, well, one of those was named, greed, a selfish desire for more than you need. Envy, resentment that someone else has what you want. Pride, considering yourself better than others because of what you have. Or dishonesty, fear, even bitterness can creep in. And those are some of the money attitudes that the Bible warns against. And what I would say to you is that Satan will often use these tempting attitudes to draw us away from God. Well, if you're a Christian, giving into those ungodly heart attitudes makes you ineffective for God's kingdom. Now, those are the wrong attitudes. There are some right attitudes about money that have the opposite effect. By the way, we do have lines open today, and we'll be taking your calls here in just a moment on anything financial, your lifestyle, spending plan, budgeting, paying off debt, giving wisely, maybe even saving or investing for the future. Whatever you're thinking about today, we've got lines open, and you can call right now. You actually don't have to wait right here at the moment. 800-525-7000. You can call right now. All right, what are those right attitudes about money? Well, first, commitment to serving Christ, good stewardship, gratitude, a desire for wisdom, even generosity and humility, among others. Financial teacher Larry Burkett, the former host of this program, used to say these are spiritual values reflected through your finances, because having the right heart attitudes about money honors God. Living with these virtues makes your financial life work better, because you're putting God first and trusting Him to provide instead of leaning on your own understanding. Righteousness isn't a guarantee that things will be easy or even that you'll experience material prosperity, but what you will have is peace and the opportunity to follow and serve Jesus. So is it time for a financial attitude check? Remember, how much money you have doesn't really matter. It's your attitude about money and possessions that's important. Another perspective on this would be to understand that the attitudes of pride, selfishness, greed, envy, and dishonesty, well, they're sin, leading to bad consequences, including fear, despair, even frustration and defeat. Perhaps those have been something that's been a part of your life recently. Now, on the other hand, though, when you follow Christ and pursue a heart of gratitude and generosity and humility and good stewardship, well, you'll experience a closer walk with the Lord and the blessings of peace. Now, if you're not sure how to change your attitudes, well, ask God for help. Let me close with a reassuring passage from Philippians 4, and then we're going to take a quick break and then begin to tackle your questions today. Here's that passage. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, think about whatever is true, noble, whatever is right, pure, lovely, admirable. If anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. I hope that's an encouragement to you today. A quick break. Back with your questions at 800-525-7000.
Spreading the love and message of Jesus just got easier. The Christmas Bundle helps break the ice and open the door to share the gospel. It contains a Christmas shirt, 3 Christmas button or wristband 10 packs, 8 ounces of Noel coffee, the Advent Alphabet book, a Hope of All the Earth CD, and a 10-pack of Isaiah 9:6 stickers, all at a very special price. Get your Christmas bundle today at resources.afa.net.
We are grateful for support from One Ascent Investments on the Faith and Finance program. They manage a comprehensive suite of value-based investment strategies designed to help Christian investors live aligned with what they value most. One Ascent believes that if your values inspire the way you live, they should also inspire the way you invest. This can be a unique form of worship. More information is available at investments.oneascent.com. That web address is investments.oneascent.com.
Greetings, everyone. I'm Dr. Matt Ayers, president of Wesley Biblical Seminary. Most Christians only know the Bible at a surface level. We believe it, but do we really know it? I want to invite you to join the Wesley Institute presented by Wesley Biblical Seminary. The Institute's a 9-month program that will give you an in-depth understanding of all 66 books of the Bible taught by seminary professors. You can join live from anywhere in the world or watch the class videos on your own schedule. To learn more, visit wbs.edu. That's wbs.edu.
We are grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at eventideinvestments.com. That's eventideinvestments.com.
Here's Rob West of Faith and Finance, heard here daily on American Family Radio.
we understand how important it is for Christians to leave a legacy that will impact generations to come. One way you can do that is through a charitable gift annuity from the AFA Foundation. Call 800-326-4543, extension 345. That's 800-326-4543, extension 345. Or visit them online at afafoundation.net.
Are you struggling to fit your faith into your practice as a Christian financial advisor? The Certified Kingdom Advisor designation teaches you a step-by-step process to confidently deliver advice that aligns with Christian values. Discover the skills you need to help your clients make a kingdom impact. Get started today by enrolling in the CKA educational program at kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified. That's kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. All right, all the lines are full, so let's dive into your questions today. If you have a question, feel free to give us a call. You may get a busy signal, but keep trying. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. All right, let's go to Arkansas. Malaya, thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Hi, Rob. Thanks so much for taking my call.
Sure.
I am a sales rep, and I get quarterly bonuses, and we have a little bit of debt. It's not extravagant at all, but what we typically do is try and hit pieces of that. But what I'm wondering is, would it be more advantageous, because we have no problem making the monthly payment on that and some additional to get those paid off, would it be more financially advantageous to take those bonuses and invest in something like real estate?
Yeah, it's a good question. So what type of debt is it that you're attacking when you get these bonuses?
So a credit card and a HELOC loan.
Okay. Yeah, so the HELOC's probably 9% plus and the credit cards are 20% plus?
No, the credit cards are actually 7%, and okay, then the HELOC is 8.5%.
Okay. All right. Yeah, very good. And how much do you owe on the credit cards, and then how much on the HELOC?
Probably about, I'd say 6 on the credit card, and then on the HELOC, I think it's at 25.
Okay. Yeah. And what do you typically get in the way of those quarterly bonuses? Does it vary pretty widely, or is it fairly consistent?
It can be anywhere from 10 to 15,000.
Okay. Yeah, great. And so your next one is coming at the first of the year, maybe?
No, it'll be in December. They come like around December 15th, and then quarterly thereafter.
Yeah. Okay. And what are you all thinking about in terms of real estate? You're looking to buy a rental property?
Yes.
Okay. And do you have any savings built up for that, or would you kind of be starting from scratch and putting these bonuses aside?
We have some savings, but it would be primarily with the bonuses, because we kind of like to leave savings and savings.
Yeah, for sure. I'd love for you to keep 3 to 6 months expenses in your emergency fund before you start putting money aside for the rental property. Have you gone far enough to where you've already started to look at, you know, what you might like to spend, what the purchase price would be, and on a rental property that you'd acquire?
Yes. So we live in a very high college community. We actually have three colleges in our town, and so we were looking at something, you know, maybe around 125, somewhere in that area.
Okay. Yeah, got it. So I love this idea. I mean, especially given where you guys live, I think you'd be delighted, you know, to have a rental property that you could, you know, rent out every year. It's probably a little bit more in the way of maintenance reserves that you need in a college town. You know, you shouldn't need any marketing. And if you get someplace that's desirable in terms of, you know, walking distance to one of the campuses, I would imagine you won't have any trouble in keeping it rented. But I do think that, you know, with the credit card debt, I mean, that would be my first priority. So I would absolutely, with the money you get in December, let's go ahead and wipe that out. If you've already got the HELOC built into your budget, then, you know, perhaps we start saving for that down payment, which I'd love for you to get at least $25,000 before you all would consider, you know, somewhere between $25,000 and $50,000 would be ideal. Now, there's a couple of things that may want, you know, cause you to want to wait and, you know, build that up. Number one is we expect, and obviously a lot of this can change because there's a lot of uncertainties geopolitically and with inflation, but I expect that the Fed will start lowering interest rates somewhere around the middle of next year, June, you know, into second quarter, into the third quarter. So, you know, if you waited a year and paid off the credit card debts for sure, just continue to pay on the home equity line of credit out of your current cash flow, but start really diligently saving, you know, for the rental property purchase, then the timing may work out pretty well that, you know, somehow, you know, sometime in the back half of next year, maybe next fall, you guys have your down payment. Interest rates are a little bit lower than they are today. Maybe we're, you know, in a minor recession, and maybe housing prices are, you know, you're in a more of a buyer's market than you are today, even though I would consider today, you know, a buyer's market too. You know, I think that timing would work out pretty well, but I would certainly prioritize the credit cards first, just because that's a guaranteed return equal to that interest rate, and you're not going to get that anywhere. Does all that make sense though?
Absolutely. I think that's a great plan. And that lines up with a lot of kind of what we were thinking. So I really appreciate your wisdom on that.
Absolutely, Malaya. Well, listen, all the best to you guys as you embark on this new project. I love the way you're thinking about it. And I think you'll be delighted that you did it once you get in a little further down the road. Thanks for your call today. Let's stay in Arkansas and talk to Virginia. Hi.
Hello. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
My question is about stepped-up basis upon inheritance of property. My parents set up a trust for all of our property, and my brother, my dad has passed on, but my brother and my mother and I are all, you know, equal partners in the trust. And I'm just curious that if the house is in the trust, will we have to use the stepped up basis upon the sale of the house when it passes on to us, or will we get to use the stepped up basis, I guess, or yes. Will we have to use the original cost?
Yes, typically assets in a trust for the beneficiaries are eligible for the step up in basis if the trust is revocable and therefore it's a part of your taxable estate. So your mother would only get half of the step up in basis because she was part owner before, you know, her husband's death. But, you know, beneficiaries with a piece of property held in a trust are generally eligible for that step up in basis, which is for a revocable trust, which is a real benefit. So I would check with your estate attorney on the specifics, but generally speaking, yes, you would absolutely be entitled to that. Thanks for your call. We'll be right back after this break.
We are grateful for support from Timothy Plan. Are you unsure if your investments align with your values? Well, for nearly three decades, the goal of the Timothy Plan has been to guide clients on a biblically responsible journey with its mutual funds and ETFs. More information is available at timothyplan.com. Investing includes risk, including possible loss of principal. Before investing, carefully consider funds, investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses contained in the prospectus available at timothyplan.com. Read carefully before investing. Mutual funds distributed by Timothy Partners LTD and ETFs distributed by Foresight Fund Services LLC.
Washington Watch advances a culture where human life is valued and religious liberty thrives.
Hello, this is Tony Perkins, host of Washington Watch, right here on the American Family Radio Network, inviting you to join us each weekend for the weekend edition of Washington Watch for the latest from our nation's capital on what is happening as it pertains to faith, family, and freedom. You'll hear from policymakers, congressional leaders, and others each day, 4 p.m. Central Time. Be there.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing and the Faith and Finance Program. For more than 30 years, they've been helping Christians reach their financial goals with step-by-step guidance for investors at every stage, from those just getting started to those getting ready for retirement. Through scriptural principles and practical suggestions, SMI offers financial wisdom for living well. More information, including the short video webinar on profit and peace of mind, no matter what's happening in the market, is available at soundmindinvesting.org.
God has entrusted his finances to you, and we at FaithFi have designed our FaithFi app to help you live, give, owe, and grow with that perspective. Our FaithFi app is the leading biblically-based finance app. You can manage your money, get top biblical financial resources, and interact with a community of like-minded believers, where you can ask questions, get answers, and share what you're learning. Go to faithfi.com and click the word app to get started.
The loss of a child through an abortion affects the emotional health of families. Feelings of anger, sadness, and regret can be overwhelming, but there is hope and healing in the aftermath. Call the International Helpline at 866-482-LIFE to talk with someone who has been where you are and healed to help others. Your call is confidential. 866-482-LIFE.
Hey, Greg, I need some advice.
Oh, what's up?
I'm really struggling with finding ways to cut back. With costs going up, especially in healthcare, what do you guys do?
We use CHM, Christian Healthcare Ministries. It's a health cost sharing ministry that's been sharing members' eligible medical bills for over 40 years. Sure helped us stick to our budget. Here's the website, chministries.org. chministries.org.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Hey, great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Our vision here at FaithFi is that all believers, that's you, all believers would see God as their ultimate treasure. You might ask, well, in a financial show, how does that relate? Well, if we see God as our ultimate treasure, then money becomes a tool to accomplish God's purposes, and it puts God in his rightful place as Lord over our lives, and it takes the pressure off of money to fill a place that it was never intended to fill. It can't bring us peace. It can't bring us security. It can't fulfill the promises of God. Only he can, but money is a blessing from the Lord. It's part of his creation that we're to use to bless others through our generosity and meet the needs of our families, and yes, to enjoy as well. Well, we want to help you do that. Live according to a biblical worldview here on this program every day as you answer the practical questions and handle God's money as that wise and faithful steward. So what are you thinking about today? What are your questions? We've got lines open. We're ready for on anything financial, 800-525-7000. You can call right now. Let's head back to Arkansas. Several calls from Arkansas today. Hi, Reed. How can I help you, sir?
Yeah. Hi, Rob. My question concerns Social Security payments, a pension, and early retirement, you know, taking Social Security prior to, you know, age 67. What's the effect of that pension on the Social Security? So I know there's a limited amount of money you can make when you're on Social Security up until you turn 67 or whenever you reach that threshold.
Yeah. Well, the Social Security limit has to do with earned income. So what is it you're trying to do? You want to continue to work after you take your benefits, and are you taking those Social Security benefits prior to full retirement age?
Yes, right.
Okay.
And so does the pension affect how much you can earn during those years before you reach your threshold age?
Yeah. And so what would be the age that you'd begin taking Social Security?
Well, say 62 or 65, perhaps.
Okay. So the pension benefits are not earned income. And so that would not affect, the reduction in your Social Security benefits. Now, any earned income that you have above the limit, would then take a dollar away for every $2 you earn above that leading up to the year in which you turn full retirement age. At that point, it increases. But pension benefits are not earned income and therefore would not play into that.
Oh, that's good news. Now, how would that affect your, when you do your taxes, and you got gross income versus net after your deductions and such, is that threshold that you can make when you are taking early Social Security funds? Do you pay? How does that tax? How does that all work?
Yeah, so it's your adjusted gross income that they would look at. So, you know, that would be the number that you're considering as you're looking at, you know, that threshold that you can have. So that's your income minus, you know, any adjustments to that income. You know, so it's money from gross income from, you know, your job, investments, things like that. But, you know, in terms of your AGI, you subtract above the line deductions, you know, which results in that that final number. Does that make sense?
Okay. Yep, that makes sense. I appreciate that.
Okay. God bless you. We appreciate your call today. Thanks for being on the program, Reed. Let's go to Victoria in Texas. How can I help?
Yes, thank you for taking my call. My question is, my husband and I invested like $400,000 in half, more or less, in what we were told is called silver spade guinea and silver rose spade guinea and gold spade guinea and silver rose crown guinea. We put in $400,000 February of 2021. As of yesterday, we have a total of like $200,000. There, wow. It is way less than what we paid for it. I'm concerned about it, and I don't know, should we just, you know, take the loss and get out of it with this company? I'm concerned that they never send us a statement. They tell us that you can't have a statement because you don't know what the spot price is, and they don't return calls timely. So I'm just looking for some guidance because I'm wondering, should we get out of this before we lose everything?
Yeah, it's a good question, and I'd want somebody who's really a specialist in this area of the precious metals to really advise you on this before you make this decision. You know, these guineas are a coin that were minted in Great Britain, if that's what you're talking about. You know, it contains about a quarter of an ounce of gold. And you know, you're right that the spot price does change, but they should be able to, you know, you should be able to get these valued by an appraiser. But it sounds like getting just an objective and opinion on what you have here and whether it's something you ought to stick with and why you've seen such a decline. I mean, you know, gold is certainly up. Now, we're not back to the highs that we saw in 2020. At this point, but we're pretty close. And so there's, you know, the fact that they're saying you've lost 50% of the value is a head scratcher to me. So let's do this. Victoria, you hold the line. I'll have Robert grab your information, and then I'll have someone from our team reach out to you and give you a few recommendations on some trusted precious metal experts that you could reach out to and consult with. All right. Is that helpful, Victoria? All right, it looks like we've lost her. 800-525-7000. Victoria, if you can hear me, just hold the line, and we'll have our team grab your information, and we'll get right back in touch with you. Let's go to Texas. Hi, Terry. Go ahead.
Hello. Thanks for taking my call.
Yes, sir.
I'm just wanted to run something by you. I'm 65. I'm planning on working until my company says, hey, that's enough. Let's me go. At that point, I have got a 401k, not a lot, it's 400,000, but I'll have Social Security whenever that time happens. Plus, I've got a pension, and to me, that's sufficient. I really don't have any debt, and I'm married, and all of our children are older. So just calling to see, hey, am I good? Is there something else I should be doing? I'm putting 17% into my 401k, so it's growing, but
good.
So that's my question.
Well, I appreciate that background, Terry. That's helpful. And here's what I would say. You know, the starting point is really to put together that retirement spending plan. And maybe you have, maybe you haven't, but it's, you know, tweaking your current budget for that season of life. Typically, retirees will pay, you know, or will spend somewhere between 70 and 80% on average of their pre-retirement income, because they're not, you know, that 17% that you're putting away for retirement. You're not doing that anymore. And, you know, maybe you drop your life insurance at that point because you're not, you know, you don't have a spouse that's counting on you for your income because you're not working anymore. And you're not eating out during the day, you know, for lunch on the job, that kind of thing. So calculate that retirement budget and then compare that to your income sources. So for that $400,000, I'd probably look at, as a starting point, trying to pull $16,000 a year, which is $1,300 a month. So add that $1,300 a month, plus your Social Security, plus your pension checks, and just see how that compares to what you're going to be spending with that retirement budget, and then continue saving at 17% and work as long as you can, and let's see if all those numbers shake out. Hopefully that gives you a starting point, Terry. All the best to you, my friend. We'll be right back on Faith and Finance.
Do you see yourself too sinful for God to care? Here's Pastor Jeff Shreve with From His Heart Ministries.
You know, one of the big reasons why people have a love problem with the Lord is because they haven't received His love for them. They don't really compute that. They don't really believe that God could really and truly love them without conditions. But He does.
Join Pastor Jeff Shreve on From His Heart, weeknights at 6 Central here on American Family Radio.
Some say Jesus was a good teacher, a lunatic, or a liar. Who was this man named Jesus? This week on Pathway to Victory, Dr. Robert Jeffress explains why Jesus Christ is, without a doubt, the Son of God and the Savior of all mankind. Join us for the series called The Incomparable Christ, all this week on Pathway to Victory with Dr. Robert Jeffress.
Weekday mornings at 6 Central on American Family Radio.
Are you looking for a financial professional who aligns with your biblical values? Certified Kingdom Advisors are trusted financial, legal, or accounting professionals who have completed a rigorous certification program to ensure they provide biblically wise financial advice as part of their practice. You can find a local CKA professional in your area by going to faithfi.com and clicking Find a CKA.
We are grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at eventideinvestments.com. That's eventideinvestments.com.
Hey, great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. We're taking your calls and questions today on anything financial. 800-525-7000. That's right. The number is 800-525-7000. You can call right now. Let's go to Michigan and welcome Jill to the broadcast. Hi there.
Hi, Jill. I'm Jill.
I'm Rob. You're Jill. Yes, ma'am.
Hi, Rob. I have a question. My mom is 83. She's a widow, worked her whole life, just some middle-class person. She's considering moving into a retirement home, independent living. She's good health. That also has the nursing care and assisted living if necessary. So they want her to do a buy-in. She would pay $150,000, and then she still would have a monthly payment of $3,000, which is her Social Security and pension, which she has. And it's a beautiful place, and we're like, okay, sounds good. But then I just had some red flags because the gal, which I think is the salesperson, said, you know, she's guaranteed there for life. If she runs out of her money, then she could apply for Medicaid. But I am starting to get some feelings that they will take all her money that she has first. So she'll have about $150 left from the proceeds from selling her home. And she wanted to gift that to her four children. And the lady was like, well, you really can't do that because if she needs her Medicaid, they're going to go back and look at that.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering if I'm making any sense. Or
no, no, you are. And I think this is really good, you know, to consider. So you need to read the fine print. I mean, a lot of times, and I really like these options as long as they're financially stable and, you know, they're, you know, usually the ones that are good, there's a waiting list even just to get in. And, you know, they have adequate, financial reserves. But the idea that they could buy in to a home, they don't get that money back, but maybe have a cottage of sorts, but with the ability to move to assisted living and full nursing care. And, you know, there's a set amount per month and maybe there's an annual, you know, inflation escalation on that each year. But they know that they can stay there for the rest of their lives. And that gives them, you know, our loved ones peace of mind to know that there's a plan there, regardless of what they need, memory care or anything, you know, down the road. And a lot of these will say that once you've bought in and, you know, if even, and they'll typically do a financial check, they'll want to know that you have a certain amount, you know, in of financial well-being first, but they'll commit to, even if you run out of money, we'll continue to provide care for the rest of your life. And, you know, so you just want to understand the fine print in terms of what guarantees they're making and what, place Medicaid or fits into this, and whether or not, you know, if she depletes all of her funds, they would at some point, you know, make her relocate out, or whether she's guaranteed she can stay there until the Lord calls her home. Does that make sense?
It does, and they are saying that she has she is guaranteed to stay there for life with this buy-in amount. But the part that I questioned is she allowed to give this balance of 150, divide this into her four children, and give that to us now?
Oh, to give it to you now? Yeah, there would be a 5-year look back on that if she needed Medicare or Medicaid.
Yeah.
So, you know, that would be the kind of the rule on that. I mean, the key is that, you know, the government doesn't allow you to, and I certainly wouldn't advocate trying to do something to kind of quote unquote hide the money. But if the goal is she genuinely, you know, believes she has the assets and, you know, she wants to just make a gift to family members, she's entitled to do that. It would create problems, though, if it was within that 5-year look back. The other thing I would say is, you know, this where she's going, they may want to verify her assets, and, you know, she would need to disclose to them that she's, you know, giving this money away. What about just letting her keep that and then, you know, having her give that at death, and just that would ensure that, you know, that the money is still available for whatever she needs it for. And then you and your siblings, her heirs, could get the money when, you know, when she dies.
Okay. She did think about, my mom has her wits with her pretty good. And she's like, well, I'm not going to be, you know, I doubt I need assisted living at this point, but if I give this to you now, and then 10 years down the road, though, I do need nursing care, they're going to take this money.
Well, but a lot of times, I mean, the way these most of the time, the way these work, and again, you need to read the fine print and maybe get a financial advisor to look over this, or an attorney. But, you know, typically the only thing she would ever come out of pocket once she buys in, even if she needs full nursing care, is just that monthly amount. The same, you know, monthly amount that covers her food and her expenses and so forth, that shouldn't change even if she goes to nursing care. So as long as she's got a plan to cover, you know, that monthly amount that she's committing herself to, plus, you know, inflation adjustments, I would expect that would cover whatever care she needs for the rest of her life.
Okay, thank you. That was helpful. Yeah. I think maybe it would be smart for her to maybe talk to an estate lawyer. They would probably know.
Would. And I think, you know, when you're making a big decision like this, never a bad idea to get some professional counsel to not only look over the contract, but just help advise her on, you know, end of life decisions. Also, it's a good time to make sure her living will is up to date, her health care surrogate, durable power of attorney, all of those documents as well. Hey, Jill, you sound like a wonderful daughter. I'm delighted to have you on the program today. Thanks for your call. To West Virginia. Hi, Linda. Go right ahead. Linda, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Great. How can I help you today?
I'm fine. I'm going to hang up right now. Okay. Thank you. Bye.
Okay.
I'm sorry. I had another call came in on my landline.
Oh, no problem.
Okay. That one's finished. I have, my husband and I received about $84,000 in oil and gas lease recently. With all the stuff you hear about the instability of our economic situation in this country, and you see a lot of gold advertisements, et cetera, and we've never invested in gold. I don't know if that is a good way to put some of this, not a whole lot, but some of it. Would it be in certificates, or would it be better to have it in hand, you know, the actual gold?
Yeah.
What's your feeling on that?
Yeah, it's a great question, Linda. I mean, I like gold as a part of a well-diversified portfolio. I mean, keep in mind, though, I mean, we see a lot of advertisements for the precious metals, particularly gold, during these times of uncertainty and fear.
Right.
And I think just with what's going on, from inflation to the geopolitical issues to our national debt, you know, obviously there's just a lot of marketing around gold. Now, what you also have to recognize is, although, you know, we've seen a nice bounce in gold, gold is still cheaper today than it was in the summer of 2020. So even though it's, it should be an inflation hedge, it really hasn't acted like that, you know, quite as well. And it's because there's other factors that drive the price of gold. But there's no doubt it's a safety asset. It's uncorrelated, meaning it doesn't move with the stock market, which is a good thing when you're trying to diversify your portfolio. So bottom line is, how do I recommend thinking about gold? I like, as a starting point, having, you know, a forever allocation in gold of, say, 5% of your total investable assets. So what do you all have, if you don't mind me asking, in the way of investable assets in total today?
Oh, gee, I just pulled that form out to look at. Hang on.
Yeah, just a rough idea. I mean, a couple hundred thousand, more?
No. We're not that well off.
Okay.
These oil and gas leases are really landfalls for us.
Okay.
And I'm trying to think. Let me see. I've got it right here. A total of about $60,000
okay.
in investments.
Okay, got it. But you said you're getting proceeds of $84,000. Would that be in addition to this?
Yes.
Okay. So that would put you at maybe $100,000. Yeah, one-time thing. That puts you at maybe $150,000. And you don't have any 401ks or IRAs or anything like that?
Yes, we have some IRAs, or Roth IRAs. They're about $20,000 each.
Okay, got it. Yeah, so, I mean, let's say you had a couple hundred thousand at the most once you get this one-time distribution plus your IRAs. You know, I'd be thinking about maybe $10,000 in gold, and I'd probably buy, with my forever allocation, you know, you can buy gold coins, you can buy gold bars, probably gold coins would be a good option, you know, where you're just buying, you know, based on the spot price of gold. I mean, even Costco was selling gold, you know, as it was a great option. And then you're just looking for, you know, that to buy and hold kind of forever. If you want to go up to 10%, I would be okay with that. Oftentimes for that second 5%, folks will use what's called a gold exchange traded fund, like GLD. It's basically where you buy an exchange traded fund, and it moves with the price of gold, but you're not actually taking possession of the physical gold. But beyond that, I would rather you have a stock and bond portfolio, largely bonds, rather than the precious metals. They just don't perform as well, the precious metals, and they're a little more volatile. So I would say, just think in terms of, Linda, no more than 10% in gold. That's my perspective. And then for the rest, I would look at, a bond mix of probably 60 or 70% bonds and 30 to 40% in stocks. You may also be well advised to seek out a certified Kingdom advisor, which you can do on our website at faithfi.com. That's faithfi.com. I hope that helps you. God bless you, and we appreciate you listening. Thanks for being on the program. Well, folks, that's going to do it for us today. On behalf of my team, Robert Youngblood, Devin Patrick, and Jim Henry, I'm Rob West. If you'd like to support our work here at Faith and Finance, check us out at faithfi.com. Just click Give. Thanks for being on the program today, and we'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.